Thank you for coming back, everyone. Aman was just describing to us how he set up a presentation in his locale for local legislators and officials. And yeah, please go on, Aman. What happened?
Yeah, so it seems that at every level, I even connected with the governor's office, but I haven't heard back from the governor's office. I contacted the attorney general at the headquarters in Helena, Montana, the capital. I heard back from the deputy attorney general, and so the conversation has started. But pretty much at the legislators, state legislators, sheriffs, county commissioners, none of them seem to feel that it's their responsibility or that they have the power to do anything. And it's extremely frustrating, and the people are not rising up. That's been my other observation. There are very few people who are really kind of aggravated at what's going on. And I am not feeling very confident right now that, you know, Montanans will rise up and say no to this stuff going on. And so I'm going to continue the fight. I'm trying to gather, you know, the most freedom-loving people here, and I think the next step is to, for everybody to understand that at no level of government, federal, state, or local, in the United States, do we, the people, have any valid representation in government. And I challenge anyone to, prove me wrong. And this is directly connected to things I've been learning over the last several months, where if people have read the 1933 War Powers Act, where all the sovereignty of the 14th Amendment, U.S. citizens, was given up to the international bankers, and we became enemy of the states. And America has been under martial rules since 1933. So what they are doing with smart cities with respect to U.S. citizens is all constitution. It's a complex subject, but I just want to leave it there.
It may be truer, Aman and Jenna, it may be truer that we've been under military or martial rules since 1863, and some would say 1861. But the 1863 was the Lieber Code, General Orders Number 100, during the middle of the war between the states. And that was crafted by a man named Franz Lieber, or Francis Lieber, who was America's foremost international law professor at that time at what was then called Harvard College. And he was a part of the Lincoln administration. And that General Orders Number 100, or what we know euphemistically today as the Lieber Code, has never been rescinded. So under the law of necessity, under martial rule and international law, everything that permits the free flow of commerce and keeps the peace is permitted. It trumps everything. And that's what I have witnessed in my lifetime. And so what Aman says is absolutely correct. We've been under military occupation for 150 years. Okay, and we're simply being rolled in. We're essentially being led blind into total lockdown, which is a prison term. We are literally amusing ourselves to death, which was the title of a media ecology professor at New York University named Neil Postman. And you can go to his website, neilpostman.org. Amusing ourselves to death. That's what's happening.
Roger Waters of Pink Floyd also has an album, Amused to Death, and in my belief, he's a World Economic Forum shill too.
Yeah, unfortunately for Roger Waters has adopted the same communitarian code speak as the communitarians. And you can witness it on YouTube as he speaks before a panel assembled at the United Nations. So if you don't understand the language of your oppression, and then you adopt it, then essentially what you're doing is being compliant, complacent, and complicit. Because there's two types of warfare that most people don't recognize as being warfare that are being waged against us. And one is called meme warfare, or memetic engineering, it's also known as. And the other is cybernetic warfare. Cybernetic warfare was the principal focus of those Macy conferences after World War II. And all these people that came together, that were convened at this series of conferences, finally agreed, since they were so specialized in their particular field, that they had to come up with a new kind of language that everybody can understand. And they all agreed that the language would be the language of control. So when you voluntarily use these technological devices, computers, laptops, smartphones, tablets, etc., what you're doing is the machine is learning about you, and you're learning about the machine. It's a voluntary act, and they're using that data to learn how to control you and everybody else around you that's also attached to the same technology.
That said well, Lark. Good job.
Can we return to Amon attending this talk that he gave and recognizing that a lot of the Montanans are Trump-tards, completely believing that if we can just get Trump back in, everything's going to be great. So, Lark, could you give a thumbnail sketch of Nikki's dialectical? I mean, we have Russ Winter saying, oh, everybody should look into the problem reaction solution. It's the answer to what's going on. But Nikki wrote about this saying, you know, they're just going to have two sides fighting, whether it's right, left, or communist and capitalist, it doesn't matter. The end game, the solution, is going to be the third way called communitarianism. Could you address that for a minute, Lark, please?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? I was on pause or mute, excuse me. Yeah, I can address that. You know, Nikki Rapana, by the way, passed away on June 15th of this year. She was 65 years old. And this is what we're told on Facebook, at least. But she and her daughter wrote the definitive anti-communitarian manifesto in 2012. So if y'all want to do a search, the definitive anti-communitarian manifesto, it should pull up on the first page results. And you can become familiar with the language that I spoke to recently in the appendices. You'll see it. Communitarian buzzwords right at the top. And Big Mother's double-tongued dictionary. It's right there. And there's a whole lot more. This is language wherein you think these words or terms of phrase or terms of art mean one thing, but they actually have more specific meanings that you are wholly unfamiliar with. And so when you parrot this language unknowingly, unwittingly, then you are feeding right in to the communitarian trap. Because what you're doing is you're enslaving yourself and everyone around you. You have to become familiar with the language because you don't want to parrot it. Okay? This is what Nikki wrote. She wrote, communitarianism is the synthesis or the merging of all political and religious opposites under one giant community-controlled umbrella. This is the difficulty in finding a label for Trump that makes sense. Trump embodies all the ideas submerged under communitarianism, including but not limited to fascism, corporate capitalism, and communism and socialism. It's a continually evolving dictatorship of the community. Standing against communitarian religion, law, and policy is a stand against slavery, racism, eugenics, child porn, human trafficking, mandatory vaccines, land grabs, water grabs, and all the other ways and means that destroy human happiness. Listen carefully. The big umbrella theory is the global emperor's new clothes. The dialectical pieces we know so well are the smoke screens hiding the naked aggression behind the communitarian veil. Both of these political parties, ladies and gentlemen, are in on it. Aman is exactly right. We do not have representation in government, or at least what was formerly known as government. That includes at the local level. That includes your school boards, the colleges and the universities. That includes your mayor, your city council, your county commissioners. You have no representation. And it's the same true at the state level and the federal level. These people are all in on it. Whether they know this word communitarianism or not, they are being steered, which is the word from which the definition for cybernetics comes from. We are being steered. We're being herded like a portion of a herd of bison towards the abyss, to the ravine, to the cliff, so that the native plains Amerindians can harvest our meat, our bones, our hides. We are the targets. We are in a war, and we are being targeted on every single way imaginable that you don't think of as war, but really is war.
Can I make a connection with from where you left off in terms of communitarianism?
Please.
For people who don't know, ESG is something that's now widely being adopted in the corporate world internationally, and ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance. And so the ESG model is the control of the three control pillars for corporate communitarianism. And that's how, at the corporate level, everyone is going to be aligned to the same system. And they're doing it very, very effectively.
And they're all tied into the sustainable development goals.
That's right.
Which anybody can search online. You have to become familiar with what are the 17 principal sustainable development goals. And we have to understand that in a communitarian system, what we're talking about is a mandatory partnership between the public sector, the private sector, and the social sector. That means your churches are involved. Your schools are involved. The people that lead these collectivist entities. And I want to remind y'all something. We do not think as Americans, as a corporation, as a collectivist entity. But it is a collectivist entity, and it stands opposed to individualism. If you are an individual, that means you care about certain things like independence, exercise of free will. You care about true freedom of choice and personal autonomy. But in a communitarian system, you do not have rights at all. You just name any right that you think you have. Without accompanying duties and responsibilities. So let me rephrase that. In a communitarian system, nobody has rights that are unaccompanied by duties and responsibilities. So this thing called communitarianism and communitarian law, which undergirds this system, and don't forget, it's tied directly to the money, the currency. What this means is that you are a slave. It's the end of freedom. And in the meantime, yeah. You are being attacked in every way, which way. You're being attacked from the air. You're being attacked through the water. You're being attacked through the food. You're being attacked through these cell phone towers. We're under attack. Chemical warfare, cyber warfare, cybernetic warfare, memetic warfare. You want to know about these false flags? Go to the internet. Go to YouTube. Non-linear warfare, a new system of political control. It all comes together. Memetic warfare is a principal concern of the Department of Defense and big media today. Why? Is big media and the CIA not bedfellows? Don't we all know that already? There's nothing on that TV that's valuable or useful to anybody.
Nothing. So could I add to your list the carbon economy that's steamrolling towards us and I think needs to be mentioned? So out with the U.S. dollar and a world currency, all monitored, tracked, and traced, leading back to Amon's work. How could they pull this off without little kids in Nambia, wherever the hell that is, having a smartphone? So, yeah, let's just say that we bitch slapped the American public and maybe the world into believing this is worth discussing. Well, what is our next step going to be? I'm insisting that it's going to have to be to listeners and anybody out there that takes in this 99% of the alt media, which is not on this subject, and insisting that, oh, we have the commemoration of the January 6th Trump false flag that we need to really focus on, blah, blah.
Right. But when really in the carbon economy, we've been monitoring NORI here in Seattle, reversing climate change, and they have a specific think tank and meme tweet hashtag site to create memes, because there is an entire generation that has belief that has been indoctrinated into them through public education to believe that they have a responsibility to save the earth by monitoring their own carbon. And the entire group, we had just listened to all of the memes they're creating. They're trying to be funny. They're trying to coerce. They're trying to be catchy. And it is a thing. Definitely. Yeah,
so, Brian, you're right. They're doing it. They've done it to the kids and the younger generation through schools. And now it's the corporate, they've taken all the corporations hostage through ESG. So now the corporations are going to make sure that they will continue to amplify the environmental agenda through their websites, through their advertising, and through their green products. So it becomes like a control system where everything is feeding everything else with the same propaganda. And in order for all this to actually fully succeed, I made my last post on Facebook a day or two ago, this digital transformation, in all of this to succeed, it's the Internet of Things with the sensors and smart city infrastructure. That's the only thing we can truly address to bring the AI or the beast system to have some weakness, right? So the key is to undo all the sensors and cameras and radars and smart lights and LED lights from our cities and towns.
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're coming up to another break. We're going to be allowing the calls to come in. And I'll announce the number at the after the break ends. Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Welcome back. We are tuned in to Immunize Wisely. I'm Jenna Chaputis. I'm sitting in for Ingrid as she's dancing tonight. We do have a call-in option, but because we did mention the ESG, I think we can play 7 minutes of this and then we'll take calls and I'll announce the number after we play the clip. It's James Corbett. And he actually did a very good job with explaining the environmental social governance system. So if that would be okay, Sam, to play 1 minute to 7 minute 38. Thanks.
Term ESG was coined and first forwarded. It took a while for it to catch on, though, and it's really in the last couple of years that the idea of assigning ESG scores, okay, let's rank, how good is this company doing on our standards for what it needs to do for its environmental responsibility, its social responsibility, its corporate governance, and then coming up with a score in which you can grade and rank different corporations, and if you don't happen to meet a certain threshold, you don't invest in them, because if you, as an institutional investor, go in and invest in a company with a low ESG score, that's going to lower your ESG score, and then you'll get less funding and people will be less willing to work with you. So it's essentially sort of this, I mean, hey, it's a voluntary system. It's non-binding. This isn't a government regulatory system. So it's And there's nothing ethically wrong with it, right? Mm-hmm. But obviously, it's the way that this is being set up. And, you know me, I'm a crazy conspiracy theorist. So I might look at, literal conspiracies, not closed secret conspiracies, open conspiracies that have taken place that have led us along this road. One example that is in the forefront of everyone's mind right now, the World Economic Forum, which started as the European Management Forum in the early 1970s, specifically around Klaus Schwab and his revolutionary idea for stakeholder capitalism, transforming our understanding of capitalism and how it should function, where corporations should not be beholden to their shareholders. They have a responsibility to their stakeholders, not just the people who literally hold shares in the corporation, but people who are affected by their business, people who live in the area that the business operates, people, whatever way you can say, I have a stake in what this corporation does. And so that broadens the corporate responsibility of these corporations. And that was one of the key driving themes of Schwab and the European Management Forum / World Economic Forum from its inception. But move ahead to 2014. And there's this fascinating piece from NPR, of all places, that it's an open conspiracy. There's nothing hidden about it, but you can go and read their piece from 2014, World's Richest People Meet Muse on How to Spread the Wealth. And it's literally illustrated, this article is illustrated with a photo of Lynn Forrester de Rothschild, Prince Charles, and Christine Lagarde, then of the IMF, at this conference that they were holding back in 2014 on inclusive capitalism. So they held this conference in London, and there were about 250 people at this event. And these 250 people represented $30 trillion in investable capital, which was estimated that at that time is roughly one third of the total investable wealth in the world. We're meeting in this one room in 2014 to talk about this concept of inclusive capitalism. And so you ask, okay, well, they're giving these speeches about what our responsibility is as people with this overwhelming wealth and blah blah blah, right? So what does that mean, though? Like, what does that actually mean, inclusive capitalism? And even this article goes on to admit the phrase inclusive capitalism is deliberately broad. People talked about it as valuing long-term investment over short-term profits. Some mentioned environmental stewardship. Others focused on treating workers well. Christine Lagarde, who runs the International Monetary Fund, said it is a way to rebuild trust in the financial system. And ultimately, of course, again, it means whatever they want it to mean. It sounds good, though. Inclusive capitalism, you couldn't get more buzzwordy than that. But that's, I think, the framework in which we start to see this headlong rush into the creation of an ESG metric that somehow assigns a number, that a score for you on this scale. How much are you in the club of this inclusive capitalism, or whatever we're calling it this week? How much can we trust that you're on board with our agenda? And so all of the power really lies in whoever's writing the metric itself. Do you think every single investor in every single company that's going to be looking at investing assets, especially for these big institutional investors, are going to be looking at that ESG score and thinking about how was that score calculated and what went into that? And, why did you rank them that way? No, they're just going to be looking at a number, and it's going to tell them, okay, green light or no, red light. And very little else. And so the real question then is the creation of universal ESG accounting standards that essentially the whole world will adopt. Again, no binding treaty or anything. It's just, everyone's doing this, so I guess we'll do it now. And this was specifically talked about in the Harvard Business Review just last month. We need universal ESG accounting standards, where they note that there are this incredible universe of acronyms that are working on this question right now. The CDSB, the Climate Disclosure Standards Board, the GRI, the Global Reporting Initiative, the IIRC, the International Integrated Reporting Council, the SASB, the Sustainability Accounting Standards Board. And apparently the one that seems to be the front runner right now for the one that could develop some sort of global, truly global ESG rating is the ISSB, the International Sustainability Standards Board. And I haven't done the deep dive on any, let alone every one of these organizations yet. And that, so budding researchers in the crowd, knock, knock, wake up. Here's a very, very good place to start some of your research. But you can go into, for example, the CFA Institute, which is the board that, or the group that certifies the CFA chartered accountant, CFA rating, are working on global ESG disclosure standards for investment products. Oh, guess who else is working on a on an ESG standard?
Perfect. Yeah. That's worth listening to. I can put the link in the chat room. He lists a whole bunch of other acronyms, but we have a break, and when we come back, I'll announce the number for call-ins. Thanks for tuning in.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
anyone wants to call in with a question on topic or comment for our guest Luck in Texas or Aman Jabi, the number is 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252. This is listener supported. If you are interested in donating to the channel, to RBN, please do so. Or just call in and contribute with your mind, some ideas, some progress. 512-248-8252.
So in the interim, I would like to mention, Aman, that Lark in Texas called into James Corbett probably 5-10 years ago. He was interviewing Nikki Rapana, and James Corbett is well aware of communitarianism, but why is it not coming out of his mouth as a so-called journalist? This needs to be mentioned. He is, it's not a situation where he didn't get the memo. He actually interviewed Nikki and Lark called in, so it's highly suspicious. So I gotta say, Aman, I'm glad that you are joining us, and we do want to give you an opportunity to say anything you'd like on this regard, because we are panicked.
That's a very open-ended question.
You know what, Aman? You might want to repeat some of the information you provided in the first hour, in the first 15 minutes, regarding access and what this digital currency is all about, what that means for the average person listening right now.
I could do that too, but let me, I agree. Whenever I hear, and I've been enjoying, you know, Corbett's videos for now a few years, but when somebody doesn't talk of the obvious things, I do get suspicious. Why are they not talking about it? I'm a big fan of Ron Paul, for instance, but he never talks about communitarianism either, and he doesn't talk about the New World Order. I'm a fan of Jordan Peterson, but he doesn't bring up the Federal Reserve currency system, and he doesn't bring up communitarianism, even though he's fighting against Marxism in the truest sense. So it's interesting what might be happening behind the scenes. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, George Orwell said famously that the greatest lie of them all is the lie of omission. So when you're watching your TV, and you're listening to, you know, your mainstream AM, FM radio, you have to ask yourself, what are they not saying? And perhaps deliberately so. And see, this is how a nation can be enslaved. A people can be enslaved because they don't ask the right questions. They can't even conceive of the right questions because they're trapped in this mediascape, this landscape of media. Remember, the people today consume more media, especially electronic media, than any other people in human history. What is this doing to us?
It's making us lazy and further taking away our ability to think critically and read books.
That's right. And so what's happening too is that we're not having the right conversations for whatever reason. We're not presenting the right questions. We're not curious enough. We're not asking the right questions to get down to the nitty-gritty of what's really going on. And that's what's happening. We are literally being enslaved. We're being put inside an open-air prison. And this is not good. You cannot trust. These politicians are not trustworthy. They are scared to death to address any real questions, any serious concerns from their supposed constituents. These people do not answer to their constituents. They answer to their paymasters.
Yeah, so the paymasters are the IMF and the, you know, the international bankers.
That's right. That's who their boss is. It's not you and me. Go ahead, Brian.
I'd like to, add to, what is the America general mindset? Let's not forget pampered and used to a very easy lifestyle. If they clobbered the living crap out of Europe in World War II, they needed to have a new gravy train, and that's the United States. But now it's time to take down that. And, surely off to China we go with every industry was a part of that scenario. But really, Americans are so used to the gravy train, we need to claw into their ears that this is not going to go on forever. And that is the project ahead of us.
Now, these politicians do not represent you. Aman is exactly right. Remember, supposedly America fought a war to gain its independence from the crown, from Great Britain. And what was their principal complaint? That they had no representation. And so they withdrew their consent. Unless you have representation, how can you consent to anything? Okay? And so it boils down to who controls the money, who controls the narrative in the mediascape. That's the media landscape. And who ultimately controls you? At the end of the day, we are all left to our own devices, okay? Which is exactly how it should be. We need to be addressing our own family members, our children, our parents, people we care about, and our loved ones. We need to be having honest conversations. That's what we need to be doing. And this is what is not happening.
Absolutely. It is a great divide. The battle is the COVID thing created enough disruption and fear. I know in my family that these subjects just can't be crossed because their belief systems are so thick and dependent on government. And that's really hard. There's people that are still hooked on government's out for their best interest. True.
They're not teaching our young people in the schools how to think. They're teaching them what to think.
Right.
This is a huge, huge problem. And the parents can help in this regard by having honest discussions with their children, okay? The future is lost if our children are lost. And we know damn well they're actually attacking our children today with these effing jabs. I mean, I don't understand how people actually trust hospitals and experts and medical doctors. What happened to their minds? Does anybody actually trust a politician? Or Tucker Carlson or Anderson Cooper? Who trusts these people? I don't. I mean, the expert in your life needs to be you. No one else.
Yeah.
You're the final authority of your life. And we need to teach our children the same thing.
Can I add, I wanted to kind of just zoom out a little more and then zoom back in. Is if we look at all the activity going on with, the bankers and the agenda that they're implementing, right? They're destroying food supplies, food storages. They're probably going to kind of choke the food supply systems at some point. They're buying out farms, killing animals, killing chickens. The money system is going to be crashed, as I see it. Like, they're going to continue to keep printing money, and with most of that, corporations are going to get more empowered and richer, as well as the smart city is going to get tighter and tighter. So the money system is going to go away. The food systems are largely going to go away. Transportation is going to be limited through geofencing and COVID and climate change rules. So everything is coming to a choke point. So what do we do? How do we stop it? In addition to trying to continue to wake people up and having conversations so that more and more people wake up and rise. I see the only way you can fight this is to bring down the smart city infrastructure, to reverse it and get in the faces of our sheriffs and the local people here. And if they don't do something, then we need to, by the hundreds, go to their offices and tell them to step down. But we need to get this. This is our only chance to survive locally. As I said, at a state level, at a federal level, the battle has been lost. And it's being lost at a local level everywhere I know. And if people see one or two videos coming from, Hong Kong about a 5G tower being taken down, that's not happening. It's just for Instagram and TikTok views to give people the illusion that somebody's out there who's going to save us. Nobody's out there who's going to save you. I think we need to save ourselves.
And always remember, too, the people that are the biggest part of the problem are going to be loath to ever admit that they may be part of the problem. Okay? I mean, I have no faith and confidence in American hospitals, American courts. I don't trust the soldier boys, and I don't trust the spy versus spy types. And I'm troubled that somebody, a young teenager, young man or woman, can go to university to become a cybersecurity expert. I mean, I personally am appalled by that. You know, it's like they're basically a modern-day machinist. They're like a functionary. I mean, I just don't get it. You know, reality is nature, okay? Everything else is nurture, okay? And we have to understand that there's a difference between nature and nurture when it comes to forming our ideals, our opinions about the world. My concern is for that 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old little boy and girl that will no longer be able to dream about a life ahead and how they want to fashion and create that life for themselves. That's my concern. And what we're going to be leaving behind on our watch is a situation in which future generations are literally going to be spitting on our graves. And I'm serious. It's not a fun scenario to contemplate.
Sure. So I want to paint a pretty picture in regards to Amon's concerns of, you know, these smart cities need to be stopped before they go planet-wide. We have somebody in the chat room actively support local small farmers. So, hell yeah. I mean, it might not be really easy to go and pull into somebody's driveway, but you could go and make that connection. In other words, Costco and Walmart may have organic, but I want to know, you know, how many tons of Roundup do you spray? And I'm interested in procuring some foodstuffs. And we can trade and barter, or we can pay in dead presidents. But
right, person to person. Because there's no one that's going to have a conversation with you that has any connection to the products that they're selling at Costco. Same with any big box store. But I'm sure it's already understood.
Let's remember, y'all, what real economy is. It's not what these big shots on the TV are telling you the economy is. If you look this word up, economy is the efficient and ergonomic management of one's own household. And what is that household? It's where you reside inside your own skin, first and foremost, well before that place you hang your hat up at night. So what I'm saying is if you really care about this life and your ability to get through this war, because we're in it, then we're going to have to recognize that anything that can bring harm upon ourselves and to our bodies, we need to combat it. And one of the first things that we need to do to be independent and to be responsible for our very existence is access to nourishing food and water. And right now, where I live in Dallas-Fort Worth, if the trucks quit running and the planes quit flying, people in this area, over 5 million people, will be dropping like flies in 2 weeks.
True.
So, you know, Aman is pretty good buddies with Cindy Niles, and she will possibly listen to this broadcast. I just want to make sure that, you know, I hate to let the cat out of the bag, Aman, but your current situation in a housing development in Montana is not going to create the ability to survive. You could have a storehouse with a year or two's worth of storable goods, but wouldn't it be something, you know, where you could get together with some like-minded people, but when you go to do that, is it going to be an intentional community, which you can look at the wiki on said phrase and see it's communitarian in nature. So, yeah, I mean, we live in Western Washington State, and there have been the pontificators forever that have come to say, yeah, I mean, we need to take down the rich, and it's time for the working man. And this goes back to the 1900s. And they tried to create these communities. And, yeah, who's sitting on their duffer and, you know, reaping what others have sown? So, yeah, I didn't want this whole 2 hours to be without, you know, I don't hate people. I don't hate the community. I hate the word community. I would like neighbors that could work collaboratively, but that's my ending thought.
Thank you. We do have a caller. We have Murr in Wisconsin calling in.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Ma.
Good show. Yeah, hi. So everyone's given up their cell phones, huh?
The smartphones. Yeah.
Smart as an ouch, cell as in prison. You all have them, right? I don't.
No, we don't.
The cell phone isn't essentially the problem. It's one of the problems.
It is one of the problems, but it's the tether that...
It is not the central problem.
Oh, no, but it is a very bad problem because it tethers you to where they can find you all the time.
It depends on how you carry it around.
Well, we can, you know, choose how to speak about it, but we never used to have them. Nobody missed them.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yep, we're amusing ourselves to death. And I want to remind you all that when we talk about everything ultimately is still contract law, when we hear or see that word contract, a contract is very simply and merely a relationship. And you, as long as you're free to choose, then you can basically form new relationships and break old relationships as you see fit. And as what Brian and Jenna were alluding to earlier, and Jerry in the chat room, you know, maybe we need to establish relationships with people that actually produce our food locally.
I agree. And we've got a farmer calling from Eastern Washington. JJ, are you calling in? What's on your mind?
Live on RBN. How are we doing, people? Yeah, we're talking about that philosophical, psychological mind screw and where you enslave yourself in the most efficient possible way ever devised in humanity. The final solution, the synthesis. And the answer has always been live freedom daily, because that's the only way we know it exists. If you're insisting upon your freedom and living it, well, it's about as good as the opposition can get. But legally, there's always the Seventh Amendment. That's the only nonviolent method prescribed right in the Constitution with common law jury and being quorums. Step outside their taken over bar legal system and kick off the common law grand jury.
Thank you. That's Aman, do you have a comment?
I wasn't sure what the question was, though.
Comment.
Yeah.
And as to Mern, you know, saying, oh, and, you know, if we just focus on do you or don't you have a cell phone, you know, this thing has gone on with Cindy Niles as well. Why don't you get off Facebook, honey? Well, what platform am I supposed to communicate on? Yeah. You're trying to pin the tail on a donkey, but I don't have any platform without this technology for the time being.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the JJ, your comment on the 10th Amendment, you see, what I want to say is this is a very kind of a deep and extensive conversation we can have, and we can have a 2-hour show or more longer, but for United States citizens, the United States Constitution doesn't really protect their rights because they come under civil rights under the 14th Amendment, and the civil rights gives them only immunities and privileges according to them, and the Constitution doesn't give any protections to their rights. It's only for U.S. nationals that the Constitution can be used to protect their rights.
Well, there's plenty of people on the network that talk about how you'd go about that. You go about it by living it and just make sure you're living freedom daily and making all the decisions for your own body. As Hippocrates said, if you're not your own doctor, you're a fool.
That's
so,
a good point.
You know, why wouldn't you want to take the responsibility? And that seems to be what's going on with all this tech, is the instant gratification, dopamine, the biggest, addiction crisis since I've been alive in 1965 when I joined this planet.
It's more than the cell phone. I think everyone should realize this is more than the cell phone, because the cell phone and the use of the cell phone we have under our control, right? But certain people are addicted and they can say they were under control.
Thanks for joining us, callers.
In the name of Mark convenience, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you everyone for calling. Thank you, Ingrid, for giving us a chance to speak our minds. And thank you, audience, for tuning in. And thank you, Sam.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
RBN, John Stadtmiller's Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org.